All right, let's see. Test. Today is December the 7th, 1984, and I'm talking to Johnny Boyd over at 10 Mile Road in Pensacola, and we're going to talk a little bit and play some tunes on this old dulcimer of his. You want to play one to get started?
Right. Yeah, we'll try one.
All right. Let me let you play it sort of first by yourself, and then I'll play along.
All right, we'll try the Darling Nellie Gray.
Guitar picks. All right, let me let you play it through a few times first, and I'll come in on it.
All righty. Well, I don't know a whole lot about the history of it, except that it's been in my family since sometime in the 1890s, and my dad played it, and he played it mostly for pleasure, but he did used to play for quite a few square dances, and he'd carry it to the church and play at the church house. And of course, we lived out in the country, and we never had a automobile at that time. Most of the people we knew, you know, they didn't have automobiles, so the social life involved the families and neighbors. And at different occasions, on the weekend and so on and so forth, we'd just have a little get-together either at our house or one of the neighbors' houses, and somebody play a banjo and somebody play a guitar, and my dad play this thing. And at that time, in fact, until not too many years ago, I didn't know it was a dulcimer. We call it a piano harp.
Oh.
So they always referred to this thing as the harp. I don't know where that name came from.
Now, where did your daddy get hold of this thing?
I don't know for sure. He was living in Lamar County, Alabama, when he got it.
All right.
Of course, he was a boy. So the only thing I know is that he always told us it was old when he got it. So he didn't know how old it was, but he said he figured maybe it was 100 years old. And so if he was right in that it was 100 years old when he got it, well, that makes it almost 200 years old now. But there's no way of really knowing it. Of course, you can look at it and tell that it was a homemade instrument, you know.
How did your daddy figure out how to play it? Had he seen others, or were there others around when he was a boy?
No, he didn't. I don't know whether he knew anybody at that time knew how to play it or not, but I was a good-sized boy in my teens before he ever saw another one of these.
Before he ever saw another
one. Right. Uh-huh. So I don't know whether whoever he got it from showed him how to play it, or what?
Yeah, but you don't know who he got it from.
No, I sure don't.
Yeah. Where did he see another one when he was a...
There was a blind fellow by the name of John Lane.
All right.
And his family, so the old man used to tell us, John Lane used to tell us, that his family at one time made these. And he lived there at Fayette, Alabama. Of course, his old home place was maybe 8 miles out from Fayette. But he said that when he was a boy, his family made these things.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. That was the only one I ever saw that wasn't made from this one here. A friend of ours got him some plywood and so on and so forth and made one, mm-hmm. patterned it after this one. And that was the only three that I ever saw until just recently, whenever the Dulcimer started coming back. In fact, I have a new Dulcimer now that a fella down at Gulf Shores made. But he ordered the kit and put it together, and you know.
Yeah. Well, what's another tune play? What was that? Hoplite Ladies, was that?
Hoplite Lady.
One?
Yeah. I guess that's about the first tune I ever learned to play.
Okay.
I don't know whether anybody. I don't have any idea where the tune came from. I don't. So we'll go through that one. Another tune that they always played, and I'm sure that since you're involved with folk arts, you've heard of the Little Brown Jug.
Oh, yeah.
Whether or not I don't know how I'll do with it, but I'll give it a try. He played it similar to the way I do, but he played it better than I do, and he had an excellent sense of timing,
mm-hmm.
and he knew enough tunes so he could play just about all night and not ever play the same tune.
All right, that reminded me of a question. When he was playing at dances or at somebody's house for a get together, you know, was there other music that played along with this?
Oh yes, he had a cousin that was an excellent banjo player.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we knew people that played guitars. Now, at that time, none of them were amplified, you know. But ordinarily, there'd be a banjo and a guitar, or a banjo and guitars, depending on how many people were there.
Was it common for these to be played with a fiddle player?
No. Now, I was present several times when they would have a fiddle player. But most of the time, if there was a fiddler player, at the time he was playing, my dad didn't play. And at the time my dad was playing, then the fiddler didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my dad entered a fiddler's contest, Little Fiddler's Convention at Fayette one time. And at that time, I was a teenager, maybe 16 or so. And I could make three or four chords on a guitar. So he and I, we entered the Fiddler's Contest, and thanks to his skill at playing this thing, we came out second best. Of course, I enjoyed it, got a kick out of it, you know.
The Lanes, wasn't that the name of the people at Nam?
Yes.
They made theirs similar to this?
It was just about identical to this.
Yeah.
Now, the fellow that made, a friend of ours that made one, using this pattern, he made his just a little bit bigger than this one. But the one that the old blind fella played was, it looked pretty much like this.
Hey, you didn't see any back then that were shaped like a trapezoid?
No. Yeah. Like I said, until just a few years ago, I didn't know that this was a dulcimer. Mm-hmm. And then whenever I found out that it was a dulcimer, we had no Webster's Dictionary that had a picture of one in here, and it looked pretty much like this one. But then the next dulcimer that I saw was a little picking instrument, you know. Well, I said, well, if that's a dulcimer and this thing's a dulcimer, then there's a different kind of dulcimer. So then I found out that this is what they call a hammered dulcimer.
Okay. And that one's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 courses of strings, and there are three strings to a course.
Right.
And you got the bottom course, they pull loose or something, and it cracked.
Right.
The top cracked.
The wood
so you've
cracked.
Got the bottom course actually where the second
right. And that, of course, I just left eight
right.
rows. Originally, it had 9 rows.
Okay.
So that you get two full octaves.
Right.
Plus one extra string.
What's another tune?
Well, been a long time since I played it, but
I'm putting you on the spot a little bit. I know that.
Now, my dad used to play what he called Alabama Gal, but I think it's the old tune was Buffalo Gal. You probably heard of that one.
Yeah.
Now, whether or not I'll foul it up, I don't know, but we'll give it a try. Yes, he was just a boy at that time. Yes.
All right. Did he see any others when he was a young man? You said it.
No.
Because you said that's right. You were a teenager. You said next time he saw you.
Right.
That's right. I'm getting
backwards here. Yeah, we moved. I was born in Lamar County, Alabama, and that's where he was living when he got the instrument. Uh-huh. And in the early 1920s, we moved into the next county, which is Fayette County. I moved into the neighborhood where this blind feller was reared, and that's where he saw the second one of these.
Mm-hmm. So they weren't too commonly found then.
Right.
Pretty dang rare.
Right.
I'm interested in that. What did the neighbors and the people who were used to hearing fiddles, banjos, and guitars? What did they think of this thing?
Oh, it was it was one of their favorite instruments. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. They liked it, and the sacred songs that my dad played on there. A lot of the people up there thought that he just did an outstanding job with that.
Yeah. Right.
They like that part of it.
Do you play any of those?
Yeah, ordinarily I don't play by myself. In fact, ordinarily I don't even play. Ordinarily I don't even play. Let me think of one.
All right.
One song that he played then, and my brother, I have a couple of brothers that play with me when we play.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you've ever even heard the old sacred song, "Let Me Rest."
I don't know, it doesn't sound like a hymn.
He played the old time religion. If he was playing in a church, you know, he played the old time religion. I suppose you've heard of that one.
Yeah. So he did play this in church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he played it in church.
On a regular basis, or just now and then?
Just now and then.
Okay.
Yeah. Just now and then. And he had a. I was talking to the lady that you mentioned a while ago. I can't think of her name.
Susan. Yeah.
Talking to Susan, and she told me that she was interested in the old tunes, you know. Well, some of the ones he played might have been so old that most people have never even heard of them, you know. But he had one that is a simple tune that I still like to play, and he called it "Goodbye, John." Now, I don't suppose you've ever heard of it, but he played it, and the square dancers, they danced to it and so forth, you know. When he called "Goodbye, John."
That's a beauty. Where did your daddy get the tunes from? Just hearing them around, or did he play other music besides this?
No, he could. He could get a tune out of most anything that I ever saw him try to get a tune out of. But and he could play a guitar a little bit, but mostly he just played this.
Yeah.
And of course he was playing this before I came along.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Yeah. Now, when did you start making music on it?
I got to where I could beat out the first tunes when I was before I was a teenager, I guess. But anyway, there was about five of us boys, and my dad used to tell us that the one that learned to play it, or the first one to learn to play it, or the one that learned to play it best, or something, you know, would get the old, what he called the harp, you know, when he died. So about three of us learned to play it, and at that time I could play it better than they could. So when my dad died, there was no argument as to who got the old instrument. You know, they already, everybody figured that it was mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I like the way you play. You've got a very subtle, nice touch.
Well, thank you.
I like it.
If I played it often enough, I got to wear very seldom. Well, like I said, now, this first time I've had it out since I talked to Susan. Now, she mentioned that she's going to have some kind of a school program. I believe she said it's going to start in January.
She asked me to remind you that she'll be in touch with you probably next week about that. She wants you to do that.
Okay.
She was talking to me, and she's enthusiastic about you being a part of it. So she said, please tell Johnny that I'll be in touch with him next week. Come over, call, I don't know what. But she'll be with you just next week.
Okay. Well, you probably noticed already that I got a couple of strings missing there.
Yeah.
Well, I called Reynolds Music a few weeks ago, not long after I was talking to Susan, because I said, well, if I'm going to carry this thing into the classroom, school, then I ought to at least have enough strings on it. So the fellow told it down there said that he could order me a set of dulcimer strings. So I said, well, I don't think I want dulcimer strings.
I think you're right.
And I says, what I really need is the right gauge musical wire, piano wire. Well, he said that those things have to be so tight till he didn't think the keys, dulcimer keys, would stretch them. But you notice that these are, now you knew dulcimers don't have these. These are regular piano keys that are completely worn out. And you might notice they used little old tacks out here. Like I said, this was a homemade deal.
Sure.
So they just put them some tacks in this out here and looped the wire around it and put regular piano keys.
Yeah.
And that's the reason that this instrument you can put the required amount of tension on on regular musical wire so that you don't have to have the modern dulcimer wire.
Don't let anybody talk you into, let me take it apart and fix it for you. Don't let anybody go do it. You know that.
Right, right. Yeah, if they want to fix one, I'll let them fix that new one that I have.
Yeah, that's good. Because you know how some things are. As soon as you start messing with them,
right.
The play's good now.
Right.
You know, good.
And, of course, I got a little old microphone that I clipped right here, on here somewhere.
And run it through an amp.
Oh, yeah, run it through an amplifier. Because nowadays, just about all the guitars, they're electric. Most guitars are electric. Still got a lot of them, of course. That your singers, most of them, well, a good percentage of them still using acoustic guitar,
right.
But even some of the acoustical guitars, they've electrified those.
They've got a wire running out the bottom of them. Something
right.
Like that,
right? So back when my dad was playing this, it was louder than a guitar, the acoustical guitar. So they didn't need to amplify it.
And that's got a tone that'll carry, you can tell. That's mm-hmm. That'll carry.
Mm-hmm.
Well, play a couple more tunes on that thing.
Yeah. Another old one, and of course, you don't hear this one played too much anymore because of somebody liable to holler racial or something, but my dad played a tune they called Shortening Bread.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard of Shortening Bread. So if I don't completely goof it up, I'll try to play it. Right. And that was the turkey and the straw. And you've probably already figured out that I don't have this thing tuned too well.
It's pretty close, though. You know, having a few strings missing is surprisingly close.
It isn't tuned too well.
And that was in a different key. That was
Where he always tuned it, he played these bottom ones down here was in the key of G, and then up there is the key of C.
Okay.
Because that would all depend on how you tune it, John.
Yeah. It might not be absolute, but that's where the guitar
right.
plays.
Right. Right.
Think of another tune. I'm trying to think of one.
He played one he called, again, getting back to old tunes, one he called Wool Mule. But now you probably never heard of Wool Mule either. But anyway, he played this one, he called it Wool Mule.
What do you call those?
He called them bows.
Bows?
Mm-hmm. Now, like I was telling Susan, she wanted to know where I got these. I said, well, my brother made them. My brother, that's a mechanic out that works in Monsanto. And he took some stainless steel, I guess it is, and made those. And most hammered dulcimers are played with wood or with wood hammers with felt on them, you know. But my dad, he always took what we call baling wire at that time, if you know what baling wire is.
Yeah,
that's what we used to bale hay with.
Sure.
So he used baling wire. He'd just take him some baling wire and make him some bows, and that's what he played with.
And they looked like those?
Right, except they would rust.
Yeah.
You know.
Where he played, they stayed shining.
Right, right. Yep. So that's about the way the thing goes.
That's a beaut. Tell me something about you. When you were born and all that kind of good stuff.
Well, I was born in 1922 in Lamar County, Alabama. That's northwest Alabama.
Yeah.
Grew up on a farm. And when I was about four, we moved up to Fayette County. And I lived in Fayette County then until I went in the Navy. Came out of the Navy and went back to high school, finished the last year of high school, and then went to Florence State Teachers College at Florence, Alabama. Got my bachelor's degree in education and taught school 2 years. And my wife and I, we took a little vacation and went over the way across Georgia and back across the Panhandle here. And, while we was coming across, well, I signed a contract over here in Milton to teach school over in jail over in Santa Rosa County. So I came down and taught school that year, and then during that school year, they started building this Monsanto plant out here. At that time, we had our oldest daughter was born in 47, and my next one was born in 52. So there was my wife and me and two girls and $2,750 a year teaching school. So
my father's a school teacher. I know what you're saying.
Right, I quit teaching school and went with Monsanto and stayed out there then until I retired the first day of December of 82. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm just taking it easy and doing whatever I want to do. Yeah.
Yeah. So you've been in the Pensacola area here for since what?
Since we moved down to moved into this area in 1952.
Yeah. Okay.
And lived up at Century for a while and then moved on down here in 54, and then in 1956 we moved into this house here. Mm-hmm. And been here ever since. That's where we raised the kids, and mm-hmm. they have kids of their own now. Yeah. You know.
Do you know, is there anybody else in your family that's taken up this music?
I have a brother that's, right now he's in Korea. He's a career soldier. He's got, I think he's got between 26 and 27 years. Mm-hmm. He can play it, because he prefers to play a guitar. But when he's around and if we're playing and if we have this instrument, why, he'll get over there and play a few tunes on it.
Yeah, that's good. None of your father's brothers or sisters took it up, I guess.
He didn't have any. He had one sister that died when she was in her early teens.
Yeah.
And I knew very little about my father's people. In fact, I don't know whether there's a boy in this world other than my brothers that I'm related to.
Yeah.